So we're here on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Let's see where we get up to. Actually, we got up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. So we'll turn to Chaf Aleph Amid Beis momentarily, but first let's go through the Mishnah. Now this is an interesting Mishnah because the Mishnah wants to calculate how many different sets of Malkios you could have for violating one particular law. Now obviously if you violate a law over and over again, and you could violate it endless amount of times, you get Malkos for every time you violate, as long as it was Asra. But the Mishnah wants to suggest that what happens if you get involved in the violation of the law in a continuous way. You never actually took a pause.
Okay,
so that's one lav. Then the Mishnah goes on to, in the second half of the Mishnah, to a different question. One Maisa. How many different lavim can you violate in one Maisa? So what's common to both the first question and the second question is how to stack up Malkis, how to jack up the number of Malkis.
Well, in Isurin, you've got Inis for Chalalis here, but...
Correct. So we're not talking about an Eni Sechalisa situation, although that's going to come up in the sugya, but we're talking about various lavin that happen to coincide in one action. And we're going to talk about Harisha, and you can violate so many different lavin simultaneously with one act of Harisha that you can get a stack of Malkus. Or, for example, you could continuously repeat the same lav without even taking a pause, but as long as somebody throws in a Hasra, you're going to incur multiple Malkios for each Asra, as long as you continue the thing. If you stop the Maisa, and then you get another Asra, there's nothing to talk about. You know, a person can eat Nevela, eat a Kazayas, take a break, somebody gives him Asra again, eats another Kazayas Nevela, and so forth. So you can get 50 different Malkios. But what happens if it's one continuous action? So that's going to be the Mishnah. Nazir Shayashos Seyayim Kol Hayom. He's continuously drinking wine and violating one of the three Isurim Naziris. All three of them are going to be addressed here in our Mishnah. Is Eino Chayev Ela Achas. Why? Because he only had one Hasra. So right before he embarked on the first Shtir, he started drinking, he got a Hasra. And then he continues drinking and there's no separate Hasra. Now you and I might think that that's Pshita, that since it was only one Hasra, he only gets one set of Malkus. But in fact, there is a Shita that says that with that one Hasra, he can be Chayiv multiple Malkus. It's not accepted by our Mishnah. But that Shita holds that when I give you Hasra, I'm not giving you Hasra on the first part of your action. I'm giving you Hasra on the Lav. And I'm saying to you, every time you violate the Lav, you incur a Chayiv Malkus. But our Mishnah rejects that. Our Mishnah requires that we set up not just one continuous action, but many different actions. And the only way to do that, if he doesn't stop his shtia in the middle, is by injecting another hasra. The second hasra sort of wedges between the first shtia, let's say he drank a revius of yayin, and the second revius of yayin. In between came the second hasra. And that sets up the second revius yayin as a new maisa avera to incur another set of lav. That's what he says. Amru lo al tishta al tishta, meaning he drank a revius and then he got a second hasra of al tishta. He has here in the footnote, he says hainu sha amru al tishta and kideshlo tilke, and then they gave him a second hasra. And even though he drinks behemsheikh echad lo hefsek, nevertheless, he's chayev al kol achas v'achas. Okay, then. So if he drinks five revios and he has five different asros,
without taking a break, just
without taking a break, then he's chayev for each revios. That's the deal. Okay, then. Now, hoya mitame lemesim kol ayom. That's also an iser lav for a nazir, but he never took a break. Is Eino Chayv Ela Achas. However, Amru Lo Al Titame Al Titame V'Hu Mitame. In other words, subsequent to each Hasra, he's Mitame himself. Chayv Al Kol Achas V'Achas. Now here there's a Gvaldig Achidish that we wouldn't have known from the first case, and that is that he actually has to remove his negia, his contact with the tumah, in order to incur the second malchus. And the Mefarshim explain here, the Ritva and others, that there's a fundamental difference between shtia and tuma. In the case of shtia, you can set up multiple acts of shtia by separating each one with asra. But in the case of tuma, there the Torah says, the language of the Torah is lo sechalalu. Now, as long as he continues touching the tuma, he's in a state of chilul, meaning he's desecrating his kedushas nazirus. So since the whole nature of the lav is the act of desecrating, as long as he's connected, he's in direct contact with the tumah, then he's not capable of being mechal his nazirus, because he's already in a state of chilul. And therefore the chiddush of our Mishnah is that although he had multiple asros, unless he removes his hand from the tumah, whatever is touching the tumah, then he will only be chayiv one set of malchus. So with regard to Nazir, he's going to get multiple sets of malchus as long as one condition is met. That is that the Zasra, prior to each one of the revios that he drinks, even though he's drinking them all continuously. In the case of Tumah, you have two conditions that have to be met in order to incur multiple malchus. Number one, he's got to have a separate Asra. And number two, he has to remove his Nagia and be Chosev and Nogabo a second time, in order to do an act of chil. And this Rishonim based themselves, the Ramban, the Ritva, and others, on a sugya in Masechtah Nazir. Okay, now we get to the third case, because the Nazir is enjoined from a third lav, and that's called Tiglachas Nazir. Hoya megaleach kol hayom, eino chayev ela achas, omru lo al tigalach, vuhu megaleach, is chayev al kol achas viachas. Now, I'm trying to figure out what the chidush here is in this third case, because we don't have any access to Mefarshim here on this third case. They're completely silent. And I thought that the Mishnah might be completing the set, and that's it. But I came up with a little bit of a chidush. I don't know if it's meaningful. Let's ask the following question. If you remember, we discussed the Isur Karcha last week. And in the Isur Karcha, we said that if he dips his five fingers into a sam, some sort of chemical agent, and then he places his hand on his head and he makes five bald spots simultaneously, he gets five sets of malchus. In Nazir, the din is not like that. Because in Nazir, the Isur is tiglachas. And tiglachas requires an act of giluach, using an agent which burns away the hair, is only called like a grumma situation. It's not a direct act of giluach. So with regard to the Isur Karcha, remember Karcha is alames, that he's a form of bereavement, so because he's pulling the hair out of his head. So there, the Isur is not really the maisa giluach, but rather the fact that he's creating a Karcha. And if he creates a Karcha through a sam, that also is a violation of Karcha. But here, in Tiglachas of a Nazir, the essence of the Isur is not the bald spot, but rather Maisa Giluach. So you might think that if he continuously involves himself in this Giluach, it's kind of like the person in Tumah who never pulls his hand out from contact with the dead, or whatever the Tumah is. And there he's only chayv one mark. Because here too, if he doesn't withdraw from his giluach, he simply ignores your hasra, one hasra after the other, it's all one maisa giluach. The hasra in this case cannot undermine or interrupt the giluach. In the case of shtias yayin, every revius potentially is considered a maisa shtia of yayin. And that he's not allowed to do. I need a hasra. So the hasra clinches the separation, the wedging between one shti and the other. In giluach, we would have thought in the havamin it's all one maisi giluach. Hamash v'olah, no, even giluach can be subdivided into parts. And shtei saras, for example, will constitute a maisi giluach, and therefore the hasra will separate them. Next case, hayil lavish kilayim. Right, there's a law in the Torah not to wear tzemer upishtin yachta. And now what happens? He's wearing these kilayim the whole day. He puts on the beged, then he doesn't take it off. is Eino Chayev Elachas. What?
Or there's no tzitzit.
Right. And despite the fact that there were many Asros, Shalom Aleichem, but it doesn't matter. Because it was one continuous levish. But Omru lo al tilbash al tidbash mu poshet v'lovesh is chayv al kalachas v'yachas. If he takes off the kalayim, he gets asra and he puts back the kalayim a second time around, then he gets a second set of malchus. Okay, now we're ready to turn to daf chaf aleph amid beis. Okay then? Okay. Now this part of the Mishnah wants to figure out how many different malchios can you incur with one maisa. You know, it's sort of like a juggling act.
Yeah. Masochism.
Right. So the case is harisha, right? Plowing. And how does he violate as many as eight different lavim with one harisha, one act of harisha? And the answer is yesh choresh telem echad v'chayev olav mishum shmona lavim. Rashi, which is really the Rivan, you know, Rashi didn't finish Masechta the Makas. The Rivan says that we're talking about the lav of lo sachrosh bishar v'chamar. So when it says over here he's being choresh, telem means a furrow, he's using a shar and a chamar together for with his plow. And that's a violation of a lav.
The Mishnah says that. Not
true. Yes, the Mishnah. Well, no, I didn't see that. You're right. Shor chamor. Okay, now we got to get another seven lavim here. So, what's the next set of lavim? The Mishnah says that hachoresh b'shor v'chamor v'hein mukdashim. Now, if you look in the Ravan, on the fifth line down from the top, v'hein mukdashim, he says b'gemara mukila b'bchar. So this is a firstborn shor and what's called a peter chamor. Now, why does the Gemara insist that we're talking about a bchar? Okay, so this, I'm just giving you a little bit of a heads up for what's going to come later on. The Mishnah is dealing with lavim that are absolute. They're all lavim that can be removed, which is called she'ela. Like, for example, let's say a person took a shvua that he won't be chorish with this shor and this chamor. So he gets malchus for violating that law. But the Gemara says that that would be left out of our Mishnah because it's a lav de isa b'she'ela. Now, hegdesh is also isa b'she'ela because it's haflas peh. How do you make something hegdesh? By declaring that it's hegdesh. And therefore you can be shoel on your hegdesh. So why does the Mishnah mention hegdesh? It doesn't fit into that pattern. By the same token that the Mishnah omits shvuah, the Mishnah should have omitted hegdesh. So the Gemara answers that we're talking about Bechar. Bechar is unique in the entire constellation of Hegdesh. It has what's called Kedushas Leda. It's the Peter Rechem, and the moment it's born, it's sanctified with Kedushas Bechor. You don't need Kiddush Peh. So it really doesn't come under the Halach of Hafla. Okay, I know what Daniel's thinking. I'm already reading his brain because he's a Bucky in Shas, and the Gemara Nedarim wants to know whether Bechar is a Dover HaNadu or a Dover HaAsa. So the truth is that there are two dimensions to Bechar. There's the birth of the Bechar, and then there's the Kiddush Peh that you can be Makadish the Bechar. But the fundamental Kiddush of Bechar is by virtue of its birth. And therefore you don't need a Haflas Peh. And there's no such thing as She'ela on Kiddush as Bechar. The Hegdesh is absolute. What do you do with the Bechar? You bring it to the Kohen, and the Kohen brings it on the Mizbeach as a Karmah. What did this guy do with the Bechar? He did harisha with the Bechar. And if he was choresh with the Bechar, the Ravan says that he violates a lav of lo savod bibchar shorecha. Lo savod bibchar shorecha. Now here, Abosai, we get into a whole issue. And this is sugi masechta Bechoros. What about the chamor? Because see, in the calculation of eight lavim, Bechor is going to be calculated as two separate lavim. One because he was choresh with the shor, and the other because he was choresh with the chamor. They're both bechoros. Now, in the case of kilayim, in other words, that lo sachrosh bechor v'chamor yachdov, you need both animals in order to incur one violation of the law. But here, each animal independently is a violation of the law. Now, the issue here is chamor.
Is he paying the sign?
Exactly. What's the status of Peter Chamor? Does the Iser of Lo Savod Bibchar Shorecha, notice that the Torah says Shorecha, does that apply to a Bichar of a Chamor? And that's Machlokas Tanoim in the first Perek of Bichoros. You'll see the Ravan quotes this Machlokas. He says, V'alibad Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that Peter Chamor is Osur Behana. In other words, Peter Chamor also has Kedusha. Kedusha is Bechor. And Bechlal, and if it's included under the law of Lo Savod. Oh. Even though the Pasuk says Bechor Shorecha, Lo Savod Bechor Shorecha. So how do we know Chamor? So he says that Rabbi Yehuda understands that the word Shorecha comes to exclude a case of shutfus, but not the case of Peter Chamor. Now that's the Shita of Yehuda. But there's another Shita, and that's the Shita of Shimon. And Reb Shimon is of the opinion that Peter Chamor is Mutter Bahana. It doesn't have the status of Kedushas Bechor. But the Gemara is going to try to reconcile our Mishnah even with Reb Shimon. How do you violate two lavim? And the answer is that he was poda the Peter Chamor with what? A seh. And he was choresh now with a whatchamacallit, a shar that was a bechor, and the seh that was used for Peter Chamor as a pigeon. And that seh has the kedusha and the isra hanah, which means that it's included on the lav of Lo Savah. Then the Ravan asks the following question, but this is a little bit dochuk to say the Mishnah could be reconciled with Reb Shimon. The Mishnah explicitly mentions a chamor. So he claims, the Ravan, that the only reason the Mishnah says the ketoni masnisin shor v'chamor, the ketoni masnisin lav dafka. You see it inside? The shor v'seka omar. V'hai denokat chamor. Why did the Tana of the Mishnah decide to use the word chamor? Mishum lishne dekra gabi kalayim. Not for the lav of violating Hana and working with an animal that's Hegdesh, but for the first lav of Kilayim, it wanted to follow the pattern of the Torah.
But the Kilayim was sure to serve those big Kilayim, but did not.
That I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know.
Does that mean there are all three there? Because you need to get to eight, don't we?
Yeah.
Right, so far we have three.
So three animals.
You got to say that.
I don't say we have three animals. Yeah, I say we have two animals. Sure. What are those two animals? Either a shor v'chamor, and then we have to go with Daniel's approach So it's a shor v'chamor according to Rabbi Yehuda. You violate three lavim. You violate one lav because of the kalayim of shor v'chamor, another two lavim each for the bechor, because you'd be nene from Kedushas Bechor. And if you go like Rav Shimon, then we're going to have to take Daniel's approach that even though the Mishnah is talking about Shar Viseh, you still violate the Iser Kelayim. So that has to be researched. Okay, we're going a little bit far off, but that's just to give you a little bit of a taste of what's going on. What other lavim does he incur? Because even if we got to three, we still got to add five. Next is Kelayim Bekerem. Now this says the Ravan is a violation of a pasuk in Kedoshim, in Parashas Kedoshim, and there the Torah says Sodcha lo tizra kelayim. Now wait a second, our Mishnah is talking about Zriya or about Charisha? How do you violate lo tizra kelayim by doing Charisha? So the Ravan says that Charisha requires that you turn the offer upside down. And when you do that, what you do is you cover the zera. So even though, this is a big chiddush, he didn't put the zera into the karka, but by covering the zera with offer through the Maisa Harisha, he violates the Isizriya, Sodcha Lo Tizra Kilayim.
We touched on this last year in the Sugya of Muksa. We talked about somebody throws it out, Zeroyim, into the field.
Right.
The Muksa, we had this, there was suggested that it had already been covered up automatically by Harisha.
By Harisha. Okay. And that Harisha is considered a violation of the Isir Zeriya. And we're going to see the Mishnah is consistent here, because look at the next law that he violates, Ubishvias. In Shvias, the Torah says, Sodchalo Tizra. So we're talking about the Isir Zeriya. Now, this is a little bit problematic, because Harisha, although it's not an Av in Shvias, it's a Tolda, but that would also incur a violation of a Chi of Malkus. But apparently, if you violate both the Av and the Tolda with one action, notice this Harisha serves in a double capacity. It's also an act of Harisha, it's also an act of Zeriya at the same time. Then you only get one set of Malkus. Next, what else? Yontif. Harisha is one of the 39 Malachas that are also on Yontif. Even though you could say I was Chorish for the sake of Okol Nefesh, the Torah allows that, but that's only Milisha V'elech. So this is a very early Malacha that's so far removed from the Achil itself that it doesn't lend itself to the Heter of Okol Nefesh. And therefore you get Malkus for violating the Lav of Kol Malacha Lo Sasu B'yontif.
Malkus? Yes.
Now, yeah.
Shabbos wouldn't work. Shabbos would be Skila.
Shabbos would be Skila. Now the truth is, if he got a Hasra for Malkus, then he would get Malkus even for violating Shabbos. But as we go through the sugi, you'll see that it's a very interesting chiddush here with regard to Yontif. And that's going to be because when he does this Harish on Yontif, he violates two Malachas, Harish and Zeriya. And yet he only gets one set of Malkus for that. And that's called Yesh Chiluk Malachas L'Shabbos V'Ein Chiluk Malachas L'Yontif. Okay, so that's just, again, to give you a preview of coming attractions. So how many lavim do we have so far? We've got Kelayim. We've got two lavim for Hegdesh. That's three. Then we have a lav of Sadchalo Tizra Kelayim for the Zriya itself. I'm not talking about working the animals, but for the act of Zriya itself. That's how many? Four. Then we have Shvius is five. Then we have Yontif is six. Oh, what's number seven? Vehu Kohen. Vehu Nazir. And here we're going to add two Lavim. Bebeis HaTumah. In other words, that this area that he's threshing, that he's plowing, is a graveyard. And if it's a graveyard, then if you're a Kohen, you get a set of Malkus for the lav of Lenefesh Lo Yitav V'Yamav, and if he's also a Nazir, he gets a set of Malkus for Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo, which we read recently in Parshas Noso. All told, we have eight. Now, Rabosai, I just want to make one point here, because this is going to bother me as we finish the Mishnah. What I thought the Chiddush of the Mishnah was, is that with one act of Harisha, you could violate so many lav and get so many malchus.
That's not the way the act is getting malchus
for. What do you say?
That's not the act he's getting malchus for. He's meaning the Harisha itself has the kilayim, as the tzadcha, that happens to be, the Beit HaKvarot, like that has nothing to do with the Harisha.
Okay, good. Excellent. And your question is going to become very, very sharp here as we read the last part of the Mishnah. Chananya ben Chachinai Omer, af halovish kelayim. He's wearing kelayim as he's doing the harisha.
Okay, I went ahead. It's got four corners with no tzitzit on it.
Well, okay, there's no malchus for violating the, that's called a bittul esse, but certainly if he's wearing a beged of fishnet, he gets malchus for that. But the obvious answer to Chananya's point is that has nothing to do with harisha. I mean, why didn't Chananya say that he was eating chazer at the time that he was doing chorish? He was multitasking.
And
there's no limit to how many. I don't know if you can boil an erva while he's doing chorish, that would take a lot of agility. But there's no end to how many malchus you can violate. Amrulos, the Chachamim turn to Chananya, they say, Eino Hashem. Meaning, we need a shame Harisha here. The fact that his beged happens to be made of kelaim, that has nothing to do with Harisha. Amar lehem. So he gets very sharp. He says, Afa Nazir, meaning he's doing Harisha in a Beis HaKvaras and he's being metame himself and violating the love of Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yomo. Lo hu min Hashem. Lo hu Hashem. That has nothing to do with Harisha. It happens to be that the Harisha took place in a Beis HaKvaras. So the Gemara is going to ask a slightly different question here. And we'll soon see that. But maybe we could suggest that the Mishnah would like to see the land itself play a role in the violation of Harisha. Now, it's true. I admit to you, it's totally coincidental that this piece of land happens to be a Beis HaKvaras. It's irrelevant to all the lavim that are listed here, but at least it's machmas hakarka that he violates the lav and gets malchus. In both cases, in Kohen and Nozir, the karka is tameh to Beis HaKvaras. But Hananya goes a step further, and he's talking about the begadim that he's wearing. That has nothing to do with the karka. Now, in the case of mukdashim, basically, he violates an Iser Hanah from Hegdesh, and he gets Malkus, even two sets of Malkus. But there, the Hanah was through a Harisha. In fact, the Torah says, Lo Tavod Bahem, that you can't take Hegdesh and work with it. So, in a sense, using an animal that's Bechor, Kodesh Mekudesh Bechor, and using it for Harisha, that would be a classical violation of Lo Tavod Bahem. But again, the fact that it happens to be that he's wearing kelayim, and again, why didn't he say he was eating a chaza sandwich at the same time? I don't know. You know, where's the limit? But on both sides, this question is going to haunt us throughout the evening, because the Gemara is going to have an entire list of possible lavim that he could violate simultaneous with the Harisha. And why weren't those lavim mentioned in our Mishnah? So whereas we thought the Mishnah was talking about Harisha, the Gemara thinks the Mishnah is talking about simultaneity. All right, let's start the Gemara. Omar Rav Bibi, Omar Rav Yosi, again, there are various girsos here. Lo poshet velovesh mamish, the Mishnah seems to give you the impression that he violates he gets multiple malchus for the violation of kelayim because he took off the beged and then he got a second asron and he put on the beged. Says Rav Bibi, that's not the case. Don't take the Mishnah literally. Ela afilu machnis umotzi beis yad unkeli. So it means that he did a partial pshitas habeged, not a complete pshitas habeged. And, you know, you and I would have said, well, he has to take off most of the beged, and maybe part of it is just wrapped around his body. No, says Rav Bibi, as long as the beged is not in its original tzura kedarka, although if you're wearing tefillin, this is exactly what you do, right? I'm assuming you're wearing a jacket. Now, if you don't wear a jacket, then it's irrelevant to have the
stuff. When it's cold.
What?
When it's cold.
Okay. So you mean even you wear a jacket? Okay. Good. Okay, it's cold.
No, sir.
Right. Rav Acha Burei Dravika says, Ayuli Vafuki. It's not enough that you just take out your arm from the sleeve, but rather you have... Okay, so let's see. Ayuli means to go in. This we know from Masechta Shabbos. And afuki means to go out. So what does that mean with regard to a beggar? Does it mean he completely strips himself of the beggar and then he puts it on again? He wears it inside out? I don't know. It's a little confusing to me. The Ravan doesn't really shed much of a light on this. Look, he says, Iyuli vafuki mamish. You see that on the second line? Eben, you have an art scroll. What does he say here? Maybe he had something here, because I was drawing like a blank on here. Unless he's saying you have to take off the beggar and put it on again, but I don't think that's what he's saying.
That's what Mamish means.
You think that's what he means, the Rabban? If that's the case, then I'm very comfortable. Meaning, he Rav Acha, was not willing to accept Rav Bibi's qualification of the Mishnah. Namely, that it's not necessary to take off the beggar and put it on again. You can incur malchus by taking the sleeve, taking the arm out of the sleeve.
So slips in and out of the sleeve.
Of the sleeve. So how is that different than... Just one second. How is that different than Rav Bibi? Give me a minute, Rav Osai. Rav Bibi says... Machnes umotzi base yad umkeli. So wait, maybe go back a line. What does he say as far as Rav Bibi is concerned? How is it different than Rav Bibi?
So I'm in Rav Bibi. Rav Acha.
Yeah.
Just slipping in and out again.
Okay. What
next one?
So what did Rav Bibi? What did he use the same translation for both? Slipping in and out
of the sleeve.
In both cases, he says.
No, he doesn't say sleeve for Rav Acha and then Rav Acha prayed the Rav Bibi. He doesn't say a sleeve.
He doesn't say a sleeve.
It just says in and out.
Yeah, but it says base unkeli is a sleeve. Just one second. Hold on a second. Where's the Ravan again? Here, yeah, afilu. The second of the wide lines of the Ravan.
This is complete.
Machnes umotzi yado. But base yad chaluko. Base yad chaluko is a sleeve.
Right, maybe.
Is domi kiposhet velovish. That's a substitute for taking it off and putting it on. So what does Rav Acha add? I don't know, I have a feeling Artsko is as confused as I am.
No, Artsko says that Rav Bibi, he was just asking a question. Is it, when it says poshev velovesh, does it mean actually taking it completely off, completely on, or just slipping it on and off with like the sleeve? Rav Acha has an opinion. He says it's...
Oh, he was asking a question? Let me see if I can fit that into the language of the Ravan. Machnus umotzi yado bepesyad chaluko. He says, Dami look poshe. I don't know. It doesn't sound like he's asking
just
a question.
Question mark, and then it works.
One second. Maybe he takes out... Is he taking out the word Ella? Maybe he takes out the word Ella. Just one second. If you take out the word Ella...
Where do you see the word Ella?
I have the word Ella in brackets. Do you have such a thing?
No, that's good.
Oh, you don't have the word Ella. Just one second. So that's good. Give me a minute, because that could hold the key to unlock this mystery. Ella? Just one second.
It's just in the Bach. It's in the Bach. It has it, but they have a note.
You see, where you have the word O in the text, I have the word Ella. You see, it says, Omra Bibi, Omra Yossi, Poshet Velovesh. Just one second. I have two changes.
What would be the problem for Bibi stating an opinion, and then Rav Acha states his opinion, and then Rav Ashi states his opinion?
I'm saying it can't be that they're saying the same thing.
They don't necessarily need to be talking to each other. They're like, decades and hundreds of miles apart. So it's like, this base measures this, and that base measures the same thing happens.
Well, Jonathan, from my limited knowledge of Shas, if the Gemara wants to say that the next Amora also said the same thing, the Gemara indicates that, or at least uses the same language. Here it's a whole different statement,
They have a Shaila Tshuva, alternate Tshuva. That's the Tashi Shaitarian.
Right. In other words, Rav Bibi was asking it as a question. Yeah. That all depends on the Girsa. He doesn't have the words Lo and Ella.
If you take out
the words Lo and Ella, which you don't even have it, so you don't have to take it out. So then he's asking out, it's a question, and instead of lo, it says poshet velovesh mamish, and then instead of the word elo, you have the word o.
Yeah.
O, afilu machnes umotz. And then he gave him an answer. Okay. The only question is going to be, if you have the gear so that I have lo and elo, then it seems like a repetition.
It does seem a little strange for a Bibi to come in and ask a question in the name of his Rebbe. So like, this is a really ancient question that's, passed on from generation to generation.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That also is strange, you know. He asked the question in the name of Rav Yosef. Right. Next, Rav Ashi Omer, Afilu lo shah ela kidei lifshot velilbosh. This is the most radical breakthrough. You don't even have to take off the beged, or even part of the beged, as long as a period of time passed, which would give you enough time to take off the beged and put it on again. That shehiyah, which is called a shehiyah, is considered a maisa avera. Now, you might ask me the same question, what about yayin and a nazir? Right, the Mishnah says in the case of yayin that you're only chay of one set of malchus if you continuously drink the yayin. And here we're saying that in the Mishnah says that even though, just 1 second. Just 1 second. So maybe, in other words, the Mishnah said in the case of Kelayim that it's got to be what? Hu poshet velovesh. And basically Rav Ashi is saying, why do you need poshet velovesh? Because you need another maisa. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. According to the first day, you need a new maisa in order to incur a second set of malchus. What maisa do you need? Something that constitutes a levisha, which means you took your arm out of the sleeve and you put it back in. According to Rav Ashi, there's a much more far-reaching and sensational chiddush in our Mishnah. What you think is a maisa is and what requirement of a maisa that you would postulate, no, that's not so. You don't need a maisa in the sense that he changes something and he doesn't move a limb of his body.
Potential maisa.
But I would say a little differently. I would say that shehiyah itself is considered a maisa. In other words, when he puts on the beged, that act reproduces itself every time a period of shehiyah passes. Shehiyah means kidei lifshot velilbosh. Let's say it takes 3 minutes, whatever it is, 2 minutes, whatever amount of time it takes. Every time he allows the original levisha to continue non-stop, he is considered to have done a maisa. The shehiyah itself is considered like a maisa.
But the yayin is not the original.
With the yayin, he drinks another revius. So he has a maisa v'kumvaseh. There the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though he's drinking it continuously, the hasra wedges between the first revius and the second revius to constitute a separate maisa independent of the first and in kar malchus. In the case of levisha, we have to take off the beged and put it on, don't we? Otherwise, it's one continuous levisha and there's no kumvaseh. It's not like in yayin where he drinks the second revius. Meaning, how does the hasra, how do the multiple hasras in the case of levisha's kelayim wedge and break up the levisha? There was never another act of levisha. Kamzal and Rav Ashi says that's good for the chiddush of our Mishnah, that shehiyah itself is considered a maisa. So I'll give you an example. A tameh is not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. You give him hasra and he enters into the Mikdash, he's chayav malchus for bias Mikdash betumah. What happens if I give him a second hasra and I tell him get the heck out of there? And fife there on it. He doesn't pay any attention to me. Go fly a kite. Then according to Rav Ashi, he should get another set of malchus. Why? Because shehiyah inside the Mikdash is a reproduction, so to speak, of his original bias Mikdash. And it's considered kumvaseh. For example, the Rambam says if you buy chametz on Pesach, you get malchus. Because you own chametz. Even though ownership of chametz is a lav shein bo maisa, but if you bought the chametz, that's considered a kumvaseh. So it'd be interesting to see what Rav Ashi would say if you give him a warning, get rid of the chametz, right, destroy the chametz, and he tells you to go jump off a roof, and he continues to possess the chametz. Would that incur another set of malchus? Because the continued state of ownership over the chametz reproduces, so to speak, duplicates the original maisa by which I acquired ownership on this chametz. All right, let's go on. Now, Yesh Choresh Telem, etc. Omar Av Yanai Bechabura, he got together with Chachomim and he made the following statement. He says, Nimnu Vigomru. They came to a conclusion, they took a vote. Hachofe Bekelayim. If a person takes Ofar and he covers over Kelayim, meaning there's, let's say, Chitim and Siorim, which are two Minim, that have already been planted by someone else, he covers them over together with Ofar, Loke. He violates the law of Sadcha Lo Tizra Kelayim. Even though it was Yenim, it was somebody else who did the Zriya. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rav Yanai. Lav Mishnasenu Hizu? Isn't this clear from our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Yesh Choresh Telem Echad V'chayv Lav Mishum Shmona Lavim HaChoresh B'Shar V'chamor V'mukdoshim V'kilayim V'kerem. Now, how did he violate the Isur of Sodchalo Sizra Kelayim if he only did a Charisha? The answer is that by virtue of the fact that he was Choresh, he covered over the Zerah, let's say the Chit and the Siora, together with one offer. Hi, Choresh, the Mechai Mishim Kelayim Hechim Ishkach Aslei. How can he violate Kelayim for Zriya by doing a Maisa Charisha? Lav, it must be the Michse Bahadi de Ozil. As he's doing the Charisha, the Afar separates, right, and it rolls over, and it covers the Zroim, and that's considered Zriya. So in a sense, Rav Yochanan is sort of challenging Rav Yanai by saying, hey, buddy, it's a Mishnah. You know, like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, you know, what did you add that I wouldn't have known for the Mishnah?
Can we say that we do in Shabbos,
Be a Dov Shem Miskaven or something like that?
Does that apply now that Melach has been up to Shabbos?
Well, again, ultimately, the purpose of Harisha here is for the benefit of Zriya. Now, whether it's for the benefit of those Zroim that are already in the Karka, or for future Zroim that he's going to plant in that Telem, I don't know if that's relevant. You know, he still has Kavana for Zriya. In any event, let's just get back to the flow of the discussion. So Rav Yanai, what did you teach me that I didn't know? Amalei, so Rav Yanai turns back to Rav Yochanan. He says, Ilav didali lo chaspa mimishkach smaganisa tusa. He says, the only reason you were able to figure this out from this Mishnah is because I taught you that hachofe b'kalayim loke. Big shot. Meaning you, Rav Yochanan, or Iver Chacham, now that you know that there's a din of Chofer B'Kalayim, Loke Mishum, Sadchalo Tizri Kalayim, that Harisha equals Zriya, because, again, Rav Yanai didn't speak about Harisha, he speaks about Chofer B'Kalayim, meaning he pours Afar over the Zrayim, and he violates the Isur Zriya. Now you go back to our Mishnah, and you can unravel the mystery of our Mishnah. If not for my statement, you wouldn't have known this.
Who else could have Mishnah meant?
I don't know what the alternative would have been, but in other words, sometimes you hear a pshat and then you go back to the Mishnah and say, oh, now I understand the Mishnah. Yeah, you understand the Mishnah because I gave you a principle which helps you understand the Mishnah. So again, literally this is a very famous idiomatic phrase that appears all over Shas. I picked up the cover and you saw the pearl underneath. Now you can take the pearl and do whatever you want with it, but Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. You know what? Reish Lakish says, I'm not impressed by this whole pshat in the Mishnah. And this, Daniel, I think will answer your question. Ilav de kilosach or kilosach gavar rab. Rabbi Yochanan, you always spoke about Rav Yanai as a great scholar. And therefore, it would be a chutzpah for me if I would challenge the understanding of Rav Yanai to our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is mechayev you for Sodchal Tizu Kalayim because you mechape Bizroim. Hava Mina, I'll tell you in all humility, I would have given a different shot in the Mishnah. But that would require us to what's the word, Zetzarayin, how do you say it in English, to attribute the authorship of our Mishnah to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva has a very famous shita. Hava mina masnisen mani Rabbi Akiva, he who's the author of Mishnah, the Omar, Rabbi Akiva maintains, Hamakayim Kilayim Loke. If a person does an act which maintains the, shall we say, the well-being of Kilayim, in other words, he doesn't do the actual planting, he's considered a Makayim Kilayim. Now, this is a radical chiddush. You'll see soon that Rabbi Akiva derives this from a Gzeiras HaKos, from a pasuk. But logically, we always differentiate between an active violation of a lav and a passive violation of a lav. Here, he has kelayim already planted, and instead of removing the kelayim, he leaves the kelayim in that place, and he gets malchus. The Gemara Baba Basra has a possibility of building a wall to protect the kelayim. And that's a violation of a lav bekumva say, because he's being mekayim kelayim. But here, if you want to suggest the following, that if a person has there are zroi chitin and siorin planted together in the sadeh, again you have to see whether he has to own the sadeh, it's his sadeh, and he does not remove that kilayim, that itself is a violation of a lav and a chiyuv malchus, going to a kiva called mekayim kilayim. So it means that according to Reish Lakish, the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and they're of the opinion that Mekayim Kilayim ain't Oloke, because he doesn't actually do a Maisa Bekumva say, there may be an Issa Drabbanon here that he violates, but he's not in violation of a Chiyuv Malkus Doraisa, then our Mishnah would make no sense. So our Mishnah would have to be interpreted in light of Rabbi Akiva. My Rabbi Akiva, meaning where did Rabbi Akiva say this? The son you have a brisa, Hamenakesh Vamachape Bikilayim Loke. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Af Hamakayim, even a Makayim Kilayim gets Malkus. So let's go through these cases. Case number one is Menakesh. Menakesh means he takes out those weeds that are preventing growth, that are stunting the growth of the Zroim. And Mechapa means he covers over the Zroim with dirt. And in doing so, he is being Mekayim Kilayim, and he's Loker. So basically, Reish Lakish has a very, very sharp proof that the statement of Rav Yanai does not reflect our Mishnah. Again, assuming our Mishnah is authored by the Chachamim. No, you can't say the Mechapa B'Kalayim is Chayav based on the fact that he is considered a Zoreah. He's not a Zoreah. The Chachamim would hold in the case of Mechapa that you're Potur, because the worst violation that we can consider in the case of Mechapa, meaning when he covers over the Zoreah with Afar, is Mekayim Kilayim, and Chachamim deny that Mekayim Kilayim is Loke. So therefore, in a sense, the drawback of Reish Lakish is the fact that Reish Lakish is going to be forced to interpret our Mishnah as authored by Rabbi Akiva against the Chachamim. Why? Because if you're going to talk about Mechaper B'Ofar, then that's called Mekayim Kilayim. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, had a different understanding. Rabbi Yochanan understood that the Harisha itself is considered an act of Zriya. And therefore, even according to the Chachamim, who hold Mekayim Kilayim is Patur, here they would agree he's Chai because he's actually involved in a Maisa Zriya. So it seems to me, just again on a very superficial level, that the machlokas here between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is how to understand the case of Choresh. Is Choresh Mekayim Kilayim, or is Choresh Zoreah? My time with Rabbi Akiva, what brought Rabbi Akiva to this radical conclusion that you get Malkus simply because you weren't Oker the Kilayim? And Gemara quotes a brisa that the pasuk says, "Sadcha Lo Tizra, kill lion. Now it's interesting that the word kilayim, okay, let's just see how he derives this from sadchalot tishrak layim. Eli ela zorea, mekayim minayin, talmud lomar, and if somebody could help me by just looking in the Torah or here for the exact pasuk, talmud lomar behemtchalot sarbia kilayim, sadchalot tishrak layim. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, because this. There's so many girsa issues here, so I just want, as long as you have the pasuk, I know there's no girsa issue. So if you notice, the word kilayim is contiguous to the word sadcha. And the Torah could have written it otherwise. The Torah could have written, behemtecha kilayim lo sarbia. And then the word kilayim would have been at the beginning of the pasuk. Why did the Torah, like a crane, you know, pick up the word kilayim and place it down at the end of the first phrase, right? This pasuk has two erash and a sefer. Kilayim was moved instead of behemtecha kilayim lo sarbia. It says behemtecha lo tarbia kilayim, and the answer is to add the word kilayim to the next word in the pasuk, which is sadcha, and as if it said in the pasuk, kilayim sadcha lo tizra. And why does it have to say kilayim sadcha lo tizra? Why not just say lo tizra kilayim, and that should be enough? What's the kilayim sadcha to add an extra ribui for the iser of being mekayim, of being mekayim kilayim? Okay, next yontif. This is a little bit of an easier sugya here, more familiar to me. Amalei ula lirav Nachman vililki nami mishum zorea biyontif. The Gemara says that the number 8 in our Mishnah, in terms of yontif, is one lav and one chiv malchus only for what? For choresh. Why not incur a chiv malchus for zorea? And again, this kasha, I believe, is only difficult according to Rabbi Yochanan. Again, we'd have to check the Ritva on this. He has a discussion about this. But let's assume, if you'll grant me that literary license here, that the Gemara's premise here is like Rabbi Yochanan, that the Maisa Harisha is a Maisa Zriya. Amolei, so Rav Nachman turns to and he says, Tana Vashir, meaning Enochinami. There's an extra lav here, and really you have 9 lavim. Amalei, that doesn't make any sense. Ula turns back to Rav Nachman, he says, Tana, Ktani, Shmona. The Mishnah went out of its way to say 8. You know, Tana Vashir is when you have a long list, and you know, it can keep going and going. But if the Mishnah says 8, the number always means Lemute, 9. The Adam Tani Vashir. Amar Rava, Rava gives a much more fundamental answer to the question, why is it that Zorea and Choresh in one shot will not incur 2 sets of Malkus on Yontif? Yesh Chiluk Malachas B'Shabbos, V'ein Chiluk Malachas B'Yontif. What does this mean? So the easier case here is what's called Chiluk Malachas B'Shabbos. It means if a person violates, let's say he forgets it's Shabbos, and he violates all 39 malachas. It's a pretty great accomplishment. 39 malachas he does in Shabbos. How many chatos does he bring? Normally, if you violate the same lav over and over again in one halama, one shichacha, you only chayv 1 chatos. But in Shabbos, there's a separate halach called chiluk malachas, as if to say that each malacha is defined as a separate ma'isa avera. And therefore, he brings 39 chatos. That's going to cost him a pretty penny. But that halach of chiluk malachas does not apply to yontif. And therefore, when a person violates more than one malach on yontif, he's basically repeating the same exact avera. Our Mishnah wants to create a multitude, a maximum number of averas that it can be chayav by violating various lavim. So therefore, if with one action he violates on yontif both zriya and harisha, then he only gets 1 set of malchus, even though they're 2 separate malachas, but there's no chiluk malachas. So we're going to look at the pu'ula, at the action, And we're going to look at the lav, lo sasiko malacha, and we're going to say that he violated one lav with one action. Our Mishnah is looking for multiple lavim, each of which could engender a separate chi of malchus. In the case of Yontif, if he was oreya and choresh with one maisa, he will get maximum one set of malchus, not beyond. Amale, so Ula turns back to Rava and he says, Oda Tehe. Oda Tehe means that your answer is better than mine. Oda Tehe means let it be like you said it was. Esve Abaye, Abaye is not happy about this. The Ein Chiluke Malachas Biyontif, I'm going to prove to you from one of the most famous brises in Shas. Here it says Vatanan. Oh, in the Gilead you'll see it says Hatanya, it's a brisa. Who remembers this brisa? Anybody? This brisa is brought down in Masechet Pesachim. Hamavashel gid b'chol b'yontiv achalo loke chamesh. So he cooks gid anosha with milk. That's a violation of bishul bas b'cholov. And it was on yontiv, so he violates the isur bishul, even though bishul is normally considered ochel nefesh, but not in the case.
Machol
asuros. Excellent. And then he went and he ate it. So he gets five sets of malchus. Now, I see three sets of malchus. Number one, he was mevashel basa b'chalav. Number two, he ate basa b'chalav. Number three, he violated the malach of bishul on yontif. How did the Gemara get, how did the Brisa get five? Loka mishum ochel gid. Ah, because the gid itself, even if it was cooked alone without chalav, is a violation of the law of al kain lo sochlu, lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael's gid anasha. The loke mishum mevashel biyontif shalol litzarach. This is considered shalol litzarach yontif, so he violates kol malach lo sasa. The loke mishum mevashel gid, right, means basa b'cholav. The Torah says l'shvasel gdi b'cholav imo. The loke mishum ochel basa b'cholav. Okay, so far we have four, and now the loke mishum. Just 1 second. Veloke mishum havara biyantif. In other words, he gets one set of malchus for bishul and another set of malchus for havara.
So ein chiluk.
What do you mean ein chiluk?
So it means you can get more than one malchus.
Right. So yesh chiluk. So you just finished telling me ein chiluk malchus biyantif and maximum you can get all because you're basically repeating the same lav. No. Yesh chiluk malachas biyontiv. V'im isa, if you're right that ein chiluk malachas biyontiv is mishum avara lo machayev, how could it be chayev for avara? Da'i chayev ile mishum bishul. So the Gemara now is going to play a whole slew of games over here. You're going to take out avara, but what are you going to put in its place? Because the secret number is 5. Apik havara, take out avara, the island in its place, put gidanosh shel nevela. And here I can read Max's mind, and he's asking about Enisur, Chalisur. Why do you get two sets of Malkus? One set of Malkus for Nevela, and one set of Malkus for Gidanoshe? And the answer is that Enisur, Chalisur, I think, only applies if both Isurim emerge simultaneously. But here, the Isur Nevela came much later than the Isur Gidanoshe. In any event, the Gemara answers, V'atani Rabchia, Lokesh Taim Alachiloso. Vishalosh al Bishulo. Then Rabbi Chia interpreted this brisa as saying that the five constitute two groups. Two out of the five are for the Achila, because again he ate Basa B'chov and he ate Gidanosha. And three are because of the Bishul, which would seem to indicate that he was Mevashal Basa B'chov, he was Mevashal on Yontif, and he was Chayav Mishum Havar on Yontif. If you're telling me that it was Nevela, it should be Shalosh Achilas Uchayav, add another Malkus for Achilas Nevela. Ella, but let's try a different possibility. Apik Havara, take out Havara, because again, Ein Chilut Malachas B'yantiv. The island in its place, put Atze Asherah, the wood that he used to make the fire, the campfire, and cook his Gidanosha with Cholav. That wood was Atze Asherah. The Azharaseh, and you violate a lav of lo yidbak biyodcha. The rest of the pasuk is me'uma min acherim, and the Torah tells me that you're not allowed to have any benefits from avodah zarah. And here, since he's using the atze avodah zarah to make his fire, he's being nene from atze avodah zarah. Now here are Bosai, I don't know, I didn't see this at all in the Mefarshim, but this should be totally in the Sugya Psachim of Shvach Eitzim B'Pas or Ain Shvach Eitzim B'Pas, meaning the Gemara vacillates back and forth. When you burn something, is that considered Nisar Ano when you use the fire or the heat to cook something? Because if you notice this, it's like one step removed. Right, the wood is creating an ash, and the ash is creating heat, and then you cook with that heat. But in any event, this Gemara assumes that there is a violation of Hanah from Avodah Zarah through Srefa, in this case, Atzei Asher. Omalei Rav Acha Brei, the Rav Ravashi is not happy with this. Vililke Nami Mishum, whenever you have Hanah from Avodah Zarah, you violate two different laws. Not only the law of lo yidbak biyod chamuma menachir, but also lo savi soavab el beisecha, which that you don't read this literally, meaning because he brought up on his own to his house, he could bring it outside his house, but it means that you're not allowed to have any benefit from toeva, which is avodah zarah. El the Gemara says, you know what? We're not talking about atzei asherah because that would entail another two lavim. Hachamayas Kinan can go and should bishlo be atze hegdesh. The Azharase mihacha, the pasuk says vashreim tisrufum beish and losasun kein lashem elokeichem, that you destroy the avodah zarah by fire, and the Torah says that you're enjoined from doing the same thing to hegdesh, meaning you're not allowed to take hegdesh and burn it. So the burning of the hegdesh is itself a violation of a lav and an extra chiyuv malkus that rounds it off to the number 5. Okay, now I told you that the Mishnah says there are only 8 chiyuv malkus. Now the Gemara is going to ask a whole slew of questions. And if you're interested in the Simon, it's Shin V'I Shinaz, which each letter refers to another letter in the name of the various Amoraim that are going to ask these questions. And in my humble estimation, only one of all these questions is going to be answered. Maskif le Rav Hoshi of Alechshov Nami. Why doesn't the Mishnah add the case of Hazorea Benachal Eson? This is not too bad. This is pretty sharp. Because as we wanted to learn that the Mishnah is focused on Lavim of Harisha Sakarka. And with regard to Nachal Eson, in the parish of Egla Rufa, there's a separate lav in the Torah, Zarose Mihocha, Sherlo Ye Oved, Bo Velo Yizorea, that with regard to the Nachal Eson, which is the place where they do the Egla Rufa ceremony, you're not allowed to use that karka for any sort of Zriya. The Ritva asks, well, wait a minute, the word Nachal Eson itself means that it's not royal Zriya. So he says it's not royal Israel now, but if you nurture the ground and you fertilize it and you put water on the ground, then eventually it will produce. And you're not allowed to produce in that land. You're not allowed to be choresh, you're not allowed to be zorea. And therefore, there's another additional lav here if I assume that the land was Nachal Eson. And the Gemara doesn't answer this question. Maskif Leir of Chananya. Now we have another question. V'lichshov Nami HaMochek Es Hashem. Now this already is very strange. What does Mochek Es Hashem have to do with Harisha Sakarka? He says Bahalichaso, which if I understand correctly, and you'll check this out at Art Scroll, let's see if he agrees with me. He puts the shame on a cloth and he lays it down on the ground. And as he's walking with the machresha, he tramples over this cloth, and he obliterates the name of Hashem. What in the world does that have to do with harisha? What do you say? Tochidei harisha. So as I asked you, what if he eats a chaza sandwich? Tochidei harisha. Okay, it's a little bit more related to the harisha.
Eating a sandwich by pushing a plow.
Yeah, but again, it's not that the plow, you see, maybe the plow is doing the obliteration? Is that possible? Is that what you said, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, that's a good idea.
The plow itself slices through the olive.
Because it says balichoso. Oh, I see. Balichoso means as he's walking and pushing the plow. Maskif le Rav Avo, v'lech shovnami, hakotzeitz es beharto. he's got saras and he's not allowed to cut it off. So I guess the machresha is a very sharp blade. Again, I don't know exactly. I don't know enough about the blades of a charisha, but what?
No, you could imagine having like a little saras on your foot. You put your plow. You put the foot, your one foot in front, and you keep pushing. It's like cutting off a wart.
So again, what happens? Yeah, just one more time quickly. You put the foot in front of the machresha. You have one foot in front of the machresha.
Imagine you have like a little bit of saras on your big toe, like on the side of your big toe. So you're pushing a plow. As you're walking, you put one foot in front, you keep one foot in back. You plow carefully because you don't want to cut off your foot, but you want to cut off a little bit of saras on your toe. And you push it over.
Okay. So the emphasis here is not so much on the karka, but it's on the machresha.
Yeah.
Both in the case of Mochek es Hashem and in the case of Ktzitzas Baheres. Fine. Vazorose mehocha hishomer benega hatzoras. Okay? No answer to this question. Maskif lo abaye velech shovnami hameziach hachoshen me'al ha'efod. You're not allowed to remove the choshen from the ephod, and that's a lav in the Torah. Or v'amesir bade aron, he takes the badim that they used to have these loops of the aron, and then he put the poles through the loops, and that's how they carried the aron. And there's a lav in the Torah that says you're not allowed to remove these badim, these loops from the aron. Again, Jonathan, is he doing this somehow?
With the
machresha?
Yeah, because the idea is you're moving a sharp object. So like any isser of cutting, any isser that is cutting or breaking the left. That's a little, you need a lot of agility there.
Right.
But like certainly you could place the ephod on the ground in front as you go and cut it.
So I just want to point out to you here that there's a footnote in which he quotes the Aruch Laner. And listen carefully to what the Aruch Laner says here. And this is a comment on Meziach, on Abai's Kash from Meziach HaChoshen. He says, Hainu lechananya ben chachinoi shechoshev gam es hakelayim shelovesh b'shas hacharisha v'af zeh over b'ofen shelovesh es hachoshen b'shas hacharisha the Eino Machziro Lisham. He doesn't replace the Ephod to the Choshen. He takes the Choshen off, wears it on his body while he's doing the Charesha, and instead of replacing it back into its place, into the Ephod, he leaves it on his Beged and calls Man She Eino Machziro Over Belav Zeh. So basically, I said it was the Aruch Laner. I'm sorry, it's the Ritva. According to the Ritva, this Kash of Abaye is a Kash, according to Chananya ben Chachinoi, that during this little period of time that it takes him to do the Charisha, he violates the Lav because he's holding on, he's wearing in this case the Choshen, while he's doing the Charisha. It's no worse than wearing Kelayim while he does the Charisha. Maybe because it's on his body and his body is involved in the Charisha, I don't know. But in any event, that's Chananya and his approach. Asarasi mehocha, the Pasuk says, and I'll read to you the whole Pasuk, it says, B'tabos ha'oron yu abadim lo yasuru mimenu v'lo yizach ha'choshen me'al ha'efod. And no answer to this question. Maskif lo Rav Ashi v'lichshov nami hachoresh piatze ashera. Let's say the machresh itself is made of wood that was worshipped as an ashera. V'yazarase, and he violates the lav of mehocha v'lo yidbak biyodcha mu'uma min acherem. Again, no answer. Maskif le Ravina v'lichshov nami hakotzeitz ilonos tovos. V'yazarase, this is baltashkes, right? Mehocha. The Torah says, "Lo sashkes es eitza lindoach alav garzen kimimenu sochal vioso lo sichros," and no answer. Finally, we're going to get to one kasha that has an answer. Amalei Rav Zeira, right? Is there a street near here at Zeira?
Yeah.
Okay, I just was there yesterday. Yeah. He takes a shvua not to be choresh biyontif. Not sure why he has to take the shvua on yontif. He could have said, I won't be choresh on such and such a day. And then it happens to be yontif. Okay, it's not the violation of yontif here. In any event, he gets malchus here for the lav of lo yachel dvaro. So that the Gemara rejects. What does Rav Moni say to Rav Zera? Hasam lo kachola shvua mushba viyomi mar sinai hu. You can't take a shvua to violate an iser in the Torah. And you're not allowed to eat, and it's not even valid to take a shvua that enjoins you from doing that which you're already enjoined from doing from the mushba viyomi mar sinai. Okay, I can obviate that problem. Go and shomer shvu shel echros bein bechol bein biyont. The migu de chalalei shvua bechol chalalei nami biyontif. This is called an iser kolel. Now, zeinachinami, if the shvu was exclusively on yontif, then such a shvu is invalid. But once he expands the shvua bein biyontif bein bechol, then it's chal even on yontif. Okay, for that we'd have to learn the sugya mushba biyomi mar sinai in shvus. In any event, the Gemara says, midi di isa b'she'elo lo ketani. Our Mishnah wants to just list those violations, those lavim, which absolutely, unconditionally will incur a chiv malchus, but not something that you could be shoel on. Because the law is that she'elas chacham is okil l'mafreya. And therefore, if he would be shoel on his shvua, then he wouldn't get malchus. Even though he had violated his shvua before the she'elah, it's irrelevant. The Gemara says, lo, velo v'arei hegdesh. The Mishnah says that you incurred two violations of lavim because the two animals that he was choresh with were mukdashim. And the Gemara now assumes they were mukdashim, means they just had the status of hegdesh. And the Gemara answers, bechar, whose kedusha is from leda, and therefore there is no possibility of she'ela. In fact, the Gemara v'arei nazir. But nazir certainly is an iser of haflas pen. It lends itself to she'ela. The Gemara answers, b'nazir shimshon. If a person accepts upon himself nazirus shimshon, remember that Shimshon's nazirus came through a malach, if you remember the whole story. And such a nazirus, if you take the nazirus of Shimshon, you exclude yourself from any possibility of she'ela. So the Gemara says that's also not so poshut. Nazir Shimshon Bari Temuyil Amesim. The Nazir Shimshon is only enjoined from two out of the three surim of a Nazir. He's not allowed to drink wine, and he's not allowed to cut his hair, but he's allowed to be Metami Lamesim. Ella Haitana Iser Kolel Lesle. Our Mishnah is authored by the Tana who rejects the concept of Iser Kolel. And since this Shvua could be Chal on Yontif only because he added Yontif and Chol together and he made it into an Iser Kolel, our Mishnah doesn't accept an Iser Kolel. And since our Mishnah does not accept an Iser Kolel, therefore, it leaves out the case of Shvua. So out of all these questions, we really have answers only to the question about Shvua. Is there anything else? No, just Shvua. All right, Rabbi Osai, just two more lines and I'll let you go. Omer of Oshia, Hamarbia Sharp Sule Mukdashim, Lokesh Naim. The law is that in the case of Marbia, Psule Mukdashim, even though Psule Mukdashim don't have a full status of Hegdesh, nevertheless, they still are Asur Begiza Ve'avoda, and Marbia, which is, what's that called in English? Mating, breeding, right? Breeding. So breeding is considered a kind of avoda, and even though this shor is already pasul lekarbon, nevertheless, although it has a mum, it nevertheless retains its status of kedusha. I would call it a residue of kedusha, and that's as far as Molacha is concerned. Now, why does he get two sets of Malchus? Number one, he gets Malchus because of Kilayim. In other words, he took two Minim and he was Marbia them together. That's a violation of the law of Kilayim. And also because he was Oved Avoda Bipsule Mikdashim, because Revia is considered an Avoda. That's a Sugyan Moed cut. And finally, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak HaManig Bishar Pesulei Mekdashim Loke. In other words, if he has a Shar Pesulei Mekdashim and he has another, let's say, animal, let's say Chamor, and he works them both together, then he gets Malkus for being Manig Kilayim and Sharei Guf Echad Hu. Ah, I made a mistake. So I told you that in order to be chai for Kalayim, he had to take this shor and add a chamar. The Gemara says an unbelievable chiddush here, the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Even one animal will be a violation of Kalayim. Why? Sharei guf echad hu vasoa kosev kishnei gufim. The Torah considers this one animal as if it were two different gufim. How so?
His parents were one of each.
No, because it became possible because of mum. It got a mum. Now as a mum, it's called Psulei Mekdashim, it's chulin. But yet it's not chulin, because before the mum fell, it was hegdesh. And even after the mum falls, it still retains a residue of hegdesh insofar as Gizav Avod is concerned. Right? You could milk the cow, and you're not allowed to work with the cow. And you're not letting, if it's a sheep, you can't cut a shear off the wool, etc., etc., etc. That's because it has the status of Hegdesh. So this one shar, as Psulei Mekdashim, is a schizophrenic, so to speak. It has a double personality, two faces of Eve, not three, but two at least. It's both Chulin and Mekdashim. And the Pella is that if you use this animal to be Madigit, it's considered a violation of Kilayim, as if you had two different animals. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here.
It's a big finish.
Yeah. Big finish, yeah. So, just if somebody could remind me where we got up to. Ah, we're up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Am I correct?
40 equals 39.
Okay, yeah. That 40 equals 39. And that is more or less where I wanted to get up to today. Okay, maybe I wanted to learn a little bit more, but that's pretty good.